Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Barah Ministries teaches the Word of God from God's perspective and not from a human perspective. We want to know what God has to say through His Word because we're convinced that God knows exactly what He's talking about. And our God is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord does things for you that no one else would do. The Lord does things for you that no one else would do. And it's got to make you wonder, well, why? What would that be that the Lord would do? Well, imagine what it would be like to see your own death in advance, to know exactly what will be said to you as you go to die, to know exactly what will be done to you as you go to die, to know the exact moment when you will die. That alone is more painful than anything that the Lord experienced on the cross. At least it would be for me if you'll permit me to humanize the cross for just one moment. Yet God the Father was willing to subject His Son to that experience. And God the Son voluntarily and willingly experienced everything on our behalf. Luke chapter 22, verses 63 to 65. Say this, now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking Him and beating Him. Luke 22:64, and they blindfolded Him, and they were punching Him, and then they were asking Him, saying, prophesy, who is the one who hit you? Luke 22:65, and they were saying many other things against Him, blaspheming. And so we begin thinking about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured that type of opposition by sinners unto Himself so that we may not grow weary, fainting in our souls. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't want to experience a situation like this, not for myself, not for anyone. Yet our God and Father and our Lord and Savior did not feel the same way about you. They were willing to give their all for you. They were willing to allow this experience to happen for you. Well, welcome to a place where you can know how dedicated the sovereign God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to you and to your salvation, to you and to your life, no matter how despicable you are. Well, the opening song to get ourselves ready for worship is Through All of It by Colton Dixon.
There are days of taking more than I can give, and there are choices that I've made that I wouldn't make again. I've had my share of laughter, of tears and troubled times. This has been the story of my life. I've won and I've lost. Sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. You were there when it all came down on me, when I was blinded by my fear. I struggle to believe, but in those unclear moments, you were the one keeping me strong. This is how my story's always gone. I won and I lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. Ooh, through all of it. And this is who you are, more constant than the stars up in the sky. All these years. I'm alive.
got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey, seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my guide through all of it. Oh, and you have been my guide through all of it. Oh, and you have been my guide through all of it.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you. You gave your only Son to be a sacrifice for sin and to be an example of living the holy life, the resurrection life. Help us gladly to receive and appreciate all that he has done for us and show us how to follow in his footsteps, the footsteps of sacrifice for others. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's begin this lesson by giving you a chance to make an offering. In just a moment, we'll welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall. Barah Ministries' financial policy is that even though that we choose not to charge for the things we provide to help you study the Word of God, we wish to reflect God's grace. Help yourselves to Bibles, to music, to books, to pamphlets, to anything that would help you or a family member or a friend learn about God. No price appears on any material from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who wants to learn about God can do so free of charge. Now, even though the materials are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate the financial support you provide, which allows us to share the Word of God with the hearers God brings to listen. Please be generous in your support of God's work through his ministry. So let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Yay!
No clapping for Denny.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. And I don't need any claps because I know God's on my side, and that's all that matters. So he's clapping, none of you can hear it. So, you know, I've been a father now for 2 years, and I'm starting to really think about missed opportunities, and I don't want any of them. I want to take every opportunity to train my son up to learn and love God. I want to train him up to know how to treat others and have manners and all these things. And sometimes, even though I have the opportunity, I don't always do it. I'll want to sit on the couch or relax or do something else. And so it made me think about, you know, all the missed opportunities in lives. And we all have them. And I was reading in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And I was thinking, you know, we have missed opportunities from just strangers, from saying hi to them or holding the door. And when we don't do that, you know, it might send them on a certain path that day. Or how about family members who we might not be with or might not have that opportunity the next day? You know, some of us are without parents and family members, and maybe there's regrets that exist because we didn't take the time to be with them or get to know them. And I think that applies to the offering, because a lot of people see it as a burden, but it's really an opportunity. It's an opportunity to worship God through your time, your talent, and your treasure. And it's an opportunity to show others and show your pastor how much you care about his messages and how much you care about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems like we often look at those missed opportunities so much in our past that we miss ones that are right in our present. We're so focused on the things that we didn't do wrong and trying to fix it and trying to repair them that we miss opportunities that are right in front of us now. And I think a lot of times it's because, like Pastor said, the opportunities will take us out of our comfort zone. And the opportunities look like work. And the opportunities don't look like what we thought they should look like. So we'll just pass them on by. And I think, you know, that thought, everything happens for a reason. I was thinking, everything happens for an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to get closer to God or move away from God. It's an opportunity for you to help someone or not help someone. And I think the offering is a truly special opportunity. Even though it's just me up here, and Pastor always says he puts the worst up front, so if he's the worst, I might be even worse than him. Yeah, I always feel loved. So I just wanted to thank you all for not missing the opportunities when you can, especially the non-res that are always giving. And, you know, they don't have to give. They don't see us face-to-face all the time. And there's really no face-to-face pressure. But they love their God, and they love their pastor, and they want to give to this ministry. And we really appreciate it. And so we really love our pastor as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Deacon Denny. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord does things for you that no one else would do. Isn't it great to have a friend like that? A friend who will do anything for you, the things that nobody else wants to do. We continue our study of Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. It says this, "What then shall we believers in Christ say face to face with all these things? If God the Father is for us, and he is, who is ever going to be successful in opposition to us?" Romans 8:32, God the Father, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will the Father not also, with our union with Christ, freely give us all things? Romans 8:33, who will bring a successful charge against God's elect? And God's elect are all believers in Christ. God is the one who justifies. Romans 8:34, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather he who was raised from the dead, he who is at the right hand of God the Father, he who also intercedes for us. Romans 8:35, who will separate us from the unconditional love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword separate us from his unconditional love? Romans 8:36, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Romans 8:37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Romans 8:38, I, Paul, am convinced that neither physical death, nor anything in life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things in the future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unconditional love of God the Father, which is for us, through our union with Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, the British preacher C.S. Sturgeon once said, I know God chose me before I was born because he never would have chosen me afterward. Amen? And even though that is not quite true, Spurgeon was being facetious. He was being funny. We can easily identify with the idea. We can easily identify with how amazing grace is when we ask ourselves, who would want to save a wretch like me? Who would want to save a wretch like me? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say, believers in Christ, say then? Face to face with all these things. If God the Father is for us, and he is, who is ever going to be successful in opposition against us? And the answer is no one, because God is on your side. This is a statement of an established and irrevocable fact. What does irrevocable mean? It doesn't change. It's also a direct challenge to all opposition to believers in Christ. You've heard it said, don't mess with Texas. Well, you think you're going to mess with believers in Christ successfully? It will not happen. Why? Because we have a God who would pay any price for us miserable sheep. If you need proof that God is on your side, the next verse in the fifth passage of Romans chapter 8 offers the proof. Verse 32, here's what it says. If God the Father, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over to death for us all, how will the Father not also, now that we're in union with Christ, freely give us all things? Dale Carnegie, a world-famous author and developer of self-improvement workshops, would say to you after this verse, stop worrying and start living. It's the title of one of Carnegie's best-known books. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 proves that God is on your side. Now think about it. Would you be willing to sacrifice your child for any reason at any time? The Lord does things for us that we would never do, because truly, probably none of you would send your kids to the cross to die for anyone, maybe not even for yourself. And I was thinking about Deacon Denny. I'm sure you guys are sick of hearing his offering messages. What a mooch. What a beggar. Always up guilt-tripping you about giving money. So if I told you, say goodbye to Deacon Denny. God has told me in a vision that if we sacrifice Deacon Denny, the Lord will put $3 million in our bank account. But the Lord said, first, you have to get his mom's permission. I think you know we ain't going to get that money. Amen? Amen? Right, Sue? You're not going to give Denny up? See, even if you said you were going to give Denny up, I wouldn't let you give Denny up. I would lay down my life for Denny. I would not let that happen. So I negotiated with the Lord. I said, Almighty Father, would you take both of my sons instead if I gave the permission? $3 million for them is more than a fair exchange. Amen? Can I get an amen? Yes, that's a fair exchange. And then I said, and Lord, if gender is a problem, would you rather have my daughter? Amen? Yeah, the Lord said, fool, you know that woman you're married to ain't gonna give up that daughter. I said, yes, Lord, that is true, but she is a $1,000 problem. I can get any homeless person in Phoenix to take her out for $1,000. Amen? So what you will see is that the Lord is willing to do things for you that no one else is willing to do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him. Amen. That's funny. Yeah, I'd never let that happen, Denny, so don't even worry, man. You're my heart. You ain't going no place. My kids, you can have them. Because, you know, I mean, figure it out, right? They're going to heaven, right? They aren't going to make anything out of their lives. They're going to heaven, so just let's just get rid of them now. Let's save them all that agony. It's going to be okay, Debbie. Debbie's looking at me like, take it back. I take it back. I don't mean any of that. It's just a joke. Debbie didn't even want to put up the slides today. Why did you say that? All right. My conscience has spoken. Well, let's take a quick music break before we contemplate what that experience was like for Abraham, because the Lord asked Abraham to give up his son. So let's see what happened in that situation. Music break. The song is The Well by Casting Crowns.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Heart, no matter how broken, just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will that you're full of love beyond measure. Your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see a living water is found in me. Cause you come to the well. Yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection.
Leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind.
today's Bible lesson, the Lord does things for you no one else would do. Well, Abraham was faced with the same dilemma as God the Father was faced with in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. The Lord asked Abraham to give up his son Isaac. God placed Abraham in a difficult position. And Debbie, you'll be happy to know that even I would never give up my sons for sacrifice. Amen? Amen. I would never do that. But $3 million is a lot of money. I was just thinking about it. Like, if you could get 10% on $3 million, that kicks off $300,000 a year. Yeah, like one. That would be good. No, I would never do that. And you wouldn't either, right? And no matter how selfless we think we are, we're not going to do that. But the Lord did it. Now, in Genesis 22, he asked Abraham to do it. Now, think about this for a second. All right, so the Lord says to Abraham, I promise you that you're going to have a son. And God wasn't as fast as Abraham wanted him to be. So Abraham took matters into his own hands, asked his wife for permission to have sex with his wife's slave girl, which is, I mean, I just got to give Abraham props for that, right? That is a bold move. That is a stupid, bold move. Like, why would you ever do that? And so he does it, and he has a son by the slave girl, Hagar, I think her name was. And the Lord's just looking at him and it's like, hey, man, I already told you I was going to give you a son. Why would you do that? Yeah, well, you were kind of slow. But the Lord kept on waiting, and he waited until Abraham was 99 and sexually dead. He waited till Sarah, his wife, was 60, and she had been barren all her life. She had been a laughingstock among Jewish women because a Jewish woman who didn't have kids was a laughingstock. And then at that time, he comes and says, okay, you're going to get the son now. And Sarah laughs. It was hilarious to her. And so the Lord said, well, when the kid comes, I want you to name him Yitzhak, Isaac, which means laughter, because you laugh. And she said, I didn't laugh. She said, yeah, I think you laughed. I didn't laugh, Lord. You laughed. Isaac is the name. All right, so Abraham has gone through all this stuff, right? And then the Lord finally gives him a son. The Lord has promised Abraham everything. Your descendants are going to be as big as all the sand and the seashore and the stars in the sky. You're going to have all these people who are Jewish, and you're going to be the father of the Jewish race, and there's going to be a lot of them, and it's all going to come through the line of this son of yours, Isaac. And Abraham goes through the trying to make his own son, and then finally he gets the son he was promised, and everything is just cool with his life. And then the Lord says, okay, you know that son I gave you? I want you to do me a favor. I want you to kill him. Can you even imagine that? I want you to take that son's life. Can you even imagine what the moment was like when Abraham heard that from the Lord? Genesis 22. Now, it came about after all these things that the Lord tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And Abraham said, here I am. You want to see that verse? Go ahead. You can put that right up. Now, it came about after all these things that the Lord tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And Abraham said, here I am, Genesis 22:2. And the Lord said, now take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. All right, now first of all, I mean, so Abraham gathered all his stuff and got in his Prius. This is a long walk, too. And you have to take all these things with you. It's like, so the Lord's being kind of mean here. I want you to kill your son, and I want you to walk a long, long way in the heat with all this limestone around that is reflecting the heat into your face. I mean, it doesn't sound any crueler than that. And so just start walking with all that stuff. And when you get to the mountain that I want you to do the deed at, I will tell you. Genesis 22:3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, young men are saying, well, I got to go. And he took Isaac and his son as well. He took Isaac, his son, as well, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Genesis 22:4. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. 3-day journey on foot, carrying all that stuff. Genesis 22:5. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. Does that hit you a little bit? That's faith. I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and we will return to you. See, Abraham believed the promises of God more than he believed this request. He didn't think that there was any way that God was going to promise all those things and then take his son. Which is a beautiful thing. That's faith. Genesis 22:6. But Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took it. That's kind of funny, right? That's just like the Lord had to carry his own cross. So Isaac has to carry the wood that's going to burn him up. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so the two of them walked on together. Isaac, being the genius that he is, spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And Abraham said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, I see the fire and I see the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? See, Isaac had been paying attention all these years, and he knew that if you're going to do a burnt offering, you had to have fire and a wood and a lamb. And he didn't see the lamb, so he's wondering what was going on around here. Genesis 22:8, Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Genesis 22:9, then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now Isaac's got to be wondering something now. He's like, wait a second, I thought you said that God was going to provide the lamb. Genesis 22:10, Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Genesis 22:11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. Genesis 22:12, he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you respect God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Genesis 22:13. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Genesis 22:14. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Imagine the dilemma of Genesis 22 for Abraham. He was asked to give up his beloved son, a son for whom Abraham had endured much and had been promised much. And Abraham did not waver in unbelief. He had confidence in the Lord's instruction. Yet in the end, the Lord did not ask Abraham to go through with killing his son. But God the Father went through with allowing his own son to die. He didn't stop it when he could have. Romans chapter 8, verse 32a, we see God the Father who did not spare his own beloved son, but delivered him over to death for us all. Not only did God the Father deliver the Lord over to death, he delivered his son over for creatures that Paul describes this way in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, wretched man that I am. God the Father gave his son to die for the wretched. In Latin, and I know you can't look at me and tell, but I took 6 years of Latin. I am a Latin scholar. This expression was, O pessime ribalde. That's the worst thing you could ever say about anybody. Oh, you pessime ribalde, you most wicked, evil person. And those are the people that the Lord Jesus Christ went to die for. The most wicked, despicable people. God the Father gave his Son for the wretched ones. Helpless, hopeless, desperately sick, despicable, defiled, powerless, worthless us. Amazing. The grace. God the Father looked at his creatures, mere dumb sheep. Yet sheep he loved unconditionally before the foundation of the world. Sheep he had a fixed attitude toward. An attitude of I am for you. An attitude of unconditional love. And it was the Father's pleasure to send his Son to die for us. Zechariah chapter 11 verse 7 says this, so I pastored the flock doomed to slaughter. Hence I pastored the afflicted of the flock. And I took for myself two staffs, the one I call favor, the staff of grace, and the other I call union, the staff of unity. And so I pastored the flock. Those are the flocks I like pastoring. You know, if I was a basketball coach, I would always want to get the team that nobody believed in. And if I was a pastor, I would like to have the group that nobody believes in. I'd like to have the group that is bold enough to put pictures on the wall and think that they're going to get $3 million. Ha, ha, ha. That somebody's just going to come drop $3 million on their head. Ha, ha, ha. That's the group I want to flock. I want a pastor. See, God the Father gave us his all. That's all God asks from us. All. He asks for our all because he gives us his all. And his all was Christ. God is always willing to do for us things that we would never do for ourselves, nor would anyone else do for us. But God gives us his all. God wants you, and so we take the closing moments of the lesson to help you make the most important decision of your life. If you're listening to this message and you're without a relationship with Christ, and thus without eternal life, we want you to ask yourself a question, the question that's asked in Matthew 22:42. What do you think about the Christ? What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? Matthew 7:13-14, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. And the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, maybe you will and maybe you won't, you have a choice. He will be saved, and then he will go in and out and find pasture. Luke 23:42-43, and the repentant thief was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And why is that? Why is God willing to give us this so great salvation, free of charge? It's because he thinks we're worthy. And that's the closing song.
Christ is worthy. My worth is and will ever be, is my identity with the Lord Jesus Christ, for he alone is worthy. In Christ I'm worthy. In Christ alone is where my worth is, you see. He's part of the Trinity that's indwelling me. Jesus Christ is worthy. The only good thing that is in me is the presence of the Godhead. The life, the way, the truth, the love. Christ is worthy. My worth is and will ever be is my identity with the Lord Jesus Christ, for he alone is worthy. In Christ I'm worthy. In Christ alone is where my worth is, you see. He's part of the Trinity that's indwelling me. Jesus Christ is worthy. Christ is glory, he's magnificence. I will lift up his name. The Lamb that was slain, I will forever proclaim the excellence of him who died and rose again. Christ is worthy. My worth is and will ever be is my identity with the Lord Jesus Christ, for he alone is worthy.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thanks for making us worthy. Thanks for sending your Son in sacrifice so that we would know that you were willing to do things for us that no one else is willing to do. Thanks for always doing the impossible on our behalf. And we pray that we might do some impossible things that in our own lives, things that we don't think we're able to do by using the power of the Spirit in us. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.